And so, God, may the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. Amen. So much has happened. When I stood here 9 Sundays ago saying that I'd be leaving, it seemed that we had so much time. But after the 8 weeks of shutdown, I now only have 3 weeks left to share worship with you in my capacity as pastor. And we also have the very good news of a possible new pastor who will lead you forward. So new things are happening. I've really been wondering the last 3 weeks about what message to bring to Living Water for the last 3 Sundays that I have with you. And I've decided that it can only be about the Holy Spirit, since we will celebrate Pentecost on the 31st of May. And my messages will really be addressed, I guess, to the congregation, though you might be able to find some personal relevance in there as well. Oh, that's not it. We're having our teething problems. Funny being back. Last week, if you listened on the website, we read John 14, verses 1 to 14. And this is a farewell discourse of Jesus just prior to thanks, Dale. I hope it's on there. I hope it's me. Okay. Just prior to Jesus' death and resurrection. And in that farewell discourse, Jesus comforts his disciples by saying that he is going away to prepare a space for them, a place for them. Today's reading that Effie read just continues that. And this time, Jesus says that when he's gone, he isn't going to leave them abandoned or leave them as orphaned. He's going to send them a counselor. He's going to send them the Holy Spirit, or in Effie's version, a friend. And so, depending on the Bible translation that you have, this word paraclete in Greek can actually be used and translated in a number of these ways: as comforter, as advocate, helper, friend, counselor. And I'm told that each one of those English words actually fulfill a nuance or some shade of that Greek word. But the idea is the Holy Spirit will come and be alongside us so that we will not be alone. And this Holy Spirit is a new thing. It will lead the people into truth. It would ensure that they live in unity with one another and that they belong to God as God's children. Jesus promises they will not be orphaned. He's promising each one of us here that we will not be alone. He recognizes that by leaving, he's going to be leaving his disciples feeling a little bit disoriented. Their expectations will be dashed. They might be disappointed and confused. And he's saying, nevertheless, God will not leave you alone. The Holy Spirit will come alongside you and be your counselor and your friend. The early church's statement of belief, the Nicene Creed, agreed upon in about the 4th century and still upheld by the church today, has this: we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. The Holy Spirit is something that gives us life, the images of the living water, who proceeds from the Father and who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. The Holy Spirit is alive and active. The Holy Spirit is part of the three-in-one God that we worship and which binds us together as the church in good relationship and in love and unity, just like the way God, the Christ, and the Spirit are one. Jesus promises we will always belong to God, and through the Spirit, we will belong to one another. I would love it if Living Water goes into its future as a place with an increased feeling of belonging. When newcomers arrive, continue to invite them in, but properly. Even when they are different, we can still encourage a feeling of belonging while being a safe church. Don't keep people out because they're new to the territory or new to the community. Get to know people. Take time to do that. Find out who you haven't spoken to and chat to them. And don't label people straight away based on some early impression. My son's doing a social psychology course just to spend some time doing something, and he was telling me how amazing the research is about first impressions. First impressions stick. Be very careful that your first impression doesn't influence the long-term relationship with someone in your congregation. Get to know them. Encourage their belonging. Be generous. The Holy Spirit, which Jesus sent, was so that we'd not be alone, that we'd not be orphaned. And it's for everyone to build the community and family of Christ. Similarly, if there are people here who still don't feel like they really belong, actually think about it. Think about what it is that you can do. Pray about it. Maybe find a couple of people that you can trust and talk about it. This is a place where we want to feel welcome and belonging, because it is in the group that we can do lots of good things. So as you go into your future, be on the lookout for one another. In the John passage, Jesus describes the Spirit as the Spirit of truth. And I've been thinking a lot about wisdom. How much wisdom is such a central part of our understanding of God. We have faith in a wise God, in the good plans that He has for us as individuals and as a community. We are all capable of making decisions, and we've been blessed with free will to be able to do this. And we can all see the difference between good and bad. But we're reminded in the book of Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And by this, we usually mean recognizing the awesomeness of God and being reverent to this awesome power that's much bigger than us. We need to bring God into our decisions to be wise. One of my favorite verses that I remember is Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. So godly wisdom is different because it allows us to make the decisions which are consistent with the decisions God would make for us. It allows us to participate in God's mission. It allows us to fulfill our godly purposes. The Spirit of truth leads us into wisdom. And it's what we claim when we talk about discernment in the church. We are discerning the will of God. We are asking God for God's wisdom in our decision making. So after church today, Living Water will meet as a congregation and listen to the discernment of members of the Joint Nominating Committee who have been meeting over the last 8 weeks and discerned a new potential pastor for us. But now you have the opportunity to discern their decision and consider if it fits with what you believe the will of God is for living water. This is a privilege. It's an opportunity as a community to listen to the Holy Spirit, to the Spirit of truth, guiding you. But with this privilege, you need to commit to this being a safe space where questions and clarifications and doubts may be expressed and may be met with kindness and love. James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." I'd love it if going into the future, Living Water sought this heavenly wisdom and ensure this is a space where people feel that they are in a safe, peace-loving, sincere environment when you meet as councils, be it congregation, church council, even small committees or teams. People need to feel they are in a safe, peace-loving, impartial, sincere environment where godly wisdom is met in that discernment process. This is not a place to be defensive, to be critical, to be full of ego, thinking that only your way and the way you see it is right. Godly wisdom is not that. And then my final thought about this passage today. Christianity revealed to humanity a new way of knowing God in the world. Until Jesus, the Jews knew about Yahweh, how God interacted with God's people over history, through the Hebrew scriptures and the Torah. Then Jesus was born, and we have in Jesus a new way of God being in the world, one of kindness, power, teaching, and service. Then Jesus leaves, and in the promise of the Holy Spirit, we have yet another new way of God being active in the world. God is a God of new things, of new revelations. And even today, God is acting in new ways. In John verse 17, Jesus says that about the Holy Spirit, that the world will not be able to accept the Spirit because it doesn't know or see it. But he tells those who are gathered that they'll be able to recognize the Spirit, and they'll be able to name the Spirit's actions in the world because both the Spirit and Jesus will live with them and he in them. In recognizing the Spirit, we can see God's actions way beyond the walls of the church. As Christians in whom the Holy Spirit lives, we have the joy of being able to see God work in new ways, even when the world doesn't recognize it. At Living Water, new things are afoot. Where is God working now? How are you going to be part of it? Will you let the Spirit flow? Or will you shut it down out of fear or out of this feeling of scarcity that we haven't got enough, out of holding God small? And also, where's God moving in the rural area? If you recognize the Holy Spirit, it's you who can see what God is doing and how are you going to participate in that mission. I'd love it if Living Water went into the future being very aware of what God was doing in this area. And in a similar vein, we're coming out of these 8 weeks, and we recognize that there's been lots of good things we've experienced. This is an opportunity of creating something new with the Holy Spirit, appealing to the wisdom and truth of God. Can we wonder about what we are getting ourselves back into? and back into as a congregation? Can we dare to dream about being something different? What in the church at Living Water are you dreaming about? What is the church at Living Water you are dreaming about? Let the Holy Spirit guide you. This is an important time. It's an exciting time. I'm hopeful. Amen.